In the name of Jesus. When you hear the word congregation, what do you think about? How would you describe it? A service organization that performs acts of kindness, acts of mercy, acts of love? A group of like-minded individuals? A country club where you're only welcomed if you have the right last name or the right politics or the right occupation, job? A therapy group that counsels one another? One big happy family where everyone just gets along? None of those hit the nail on the head. Did you catch how Paul pictures the parish in the epistle reading? 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Paul sees the church as a body, not just any body, but the body of Christ. That's all well and good, but what does it mean that this parish, this congregation, is the body of Christ? Now, that's our question that we're going to wrestle with this morning, because it is important for our life together here at GLC Grace Lutheran Church. So let me ask that question again. What does it mean that this parish is the body of Christ? First, it means that we are drawn to one another. This congregation is not a man-made institution. Oh, sure, when the charter was signed 60 years ago and the building popped up, it may have appeared as though the Wegeners and the Picklemans and the Schmitz were the ones that got the ball rolling, but we know better, don't we? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the mover and shaker, the brains, the brawn, the source, the cause of this congregation. GLC is not a cosmic accident. Before the foundation of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ handpicked those men and women, the very men and women that he would use to build this place called Grace. And ever since that first service on September 6, 1959, the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped drawing people, gathering people here through the waters of holy baptism. Pastor Paul makes that point loud and clear. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Through holy baptism, we have been crucified with Christ and raised with Christ into a whole new existence, a brand new life together, where anything that could ever divide us has been swallowed up and overcome forever. What joy! We could have done this. We could not have done this by ourselves. I mean, just look around you and see everything that divides people. Politics, color of skin, nationality, language, sports, money. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. None of that ought to divide us here in the body of Christ. There is unity in the community, all because of the Holy Trinity. We are one because there is one baptism, one bread, one cup, one Spirit, one Father, one Jesus, one body. So why is it that Pastor Paul spills so much ink on unity in our epistle reading today? Well, there is a good reason. It's this. Unity is being threatened in the church at Corinth. How so? Well, you have the speaking in tongues superior Christians versus the non-speaking in tongues inferior Christians. You have several different parties warring against one another, duking it out. The Peter party, the Apollos party, the Christ party. You have all these arguments that are piling up, ranging anywhere from meats to marriage to morality. There's this guy that is sleeping with his mother-in-law, and that is raising holy hell. Everyone has an opinion on that matter. And then you have this anything-goes mentality that is seeping into the congregation, working its way through the parish. It is a mess. And what does Pastor Paul do? He calls those Christians at Corinth back to the waters of holy baptism, where they were all made to drink of the one Spirit who makes them one and keeps them one. Dear friends, we ought to do the same. Whenever division rears its ugly head, let's not bite and devour one another. Let's not duke it out with one another. Let's not turn our backs on one another. Let's not give up on one another. But rather, let's crawl back to the waters of holy baptism, where all division is drowned and put to death, and we are raised, refreshed, renewed, restored to live together as the body of Christ. That is who we are. We are the body of Christ. And in this body, we're all different. We're not the same. That brings us to the next point. What does it mean that this parish, this congregation, is the body of Christ? It means that we're diverse from one another. There's diversity in unity. Pastor Paul makes this point in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 16. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. Each of us is a member of the body of Christ. All are different. All are welcome. All are needed. Sadly, in the church, people can make comparisons that do great harm to the body of Christ, thinking, "Well, look at me. I'm just a lowly foot. I'm not a skillful hand like that guy, like that gal over there. I mean, I'm not really needed. What can I honestly bring to the table? I think it's time for me to leave." Or, "Look at me. I'm just an eye. Excuse me. I'm just an ear. I'm not like that attractive eye over there. I mean, look at all the eye does. I don't do that much. Hey, you know, I think I'm just going to throw in the towel, walk away. No one will miss me. I'm not really needed here." Now, such comparisons, Pastor Paul says, needs to go. There's no room for jealousy in this place called grace. After all, we all can't be the same. I mean, that would just be boring. Boring. Plus, if we were all the same, we would be nothing but a ginormous, grotesque monstrosity, as Pastor Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Now, there are many and various gifts in this congregation. And the Holy Spirit has given them all to us for the one purpose of building up the one body. So the modern notion that we are all the same and interchangeable is just flat out wrong. It's false. It's wrong. It's false. Each of us has God-given gifts that others don't have but need. So no matter how lowly, how insignificant a member feels, he or she is absolutely valuable. To think otherwise is to say to God that he got it wrong. Because he placed us all here. He gathered us together, giving each of us a vital role to play in this parish. As Pastor Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 through 20. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Just as there can be members who think too lowly of themselves, there can be members who think too highly of themselves. There's no room for anyone to feel superior or better than thou. We have all been drawn to one another and made diverse from one another to lean on one another. This brings us to the final point. The question, what does it mean that this parish, this congregation, is the body of Christ? It means that we are dependent on one another. That's what Paul means when he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See, we need one another in ways that we can't fully comprehend or even begin to appreciate. I mean, no member can say to another member, I don't need you. I don't need you. Now, it's tempting to look down on those who are weak, on those who may not be as gifted as you are, on those who may not be able to contribute as much as you do or have in the past. But such thinking is just wrong, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 22 through 25. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weak are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Paul preaches the gospel here. Dear friends, we are all weak because of our sins and dogged by death. What did our Lord do? Did he despise us? Did he give up on us? Did he turn his back on us? No, 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 no. He had compassion on us. He had mercy on us. See, the Lord Jesus is the stronger one who came to us and destroyed our death, saving weak sinner you, saving weak sinner me. As Romans 5:6 says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, our Lord was stripped naked and bore our shame on the tree of the cross so that he could clothe us in his robe, his garb of righteousness, and thereby honor us, save us, bring us into a whole new way of life. So we don't despise the weaker members, but rather we seek to care for them. For we have been cared for in the greatest way possible by our Jesus, who died so that we might live, who lost so that we might gain, who was wounded so that we might be healed forever. So unlike the culture where the powerful ones, the powerful players, lord it over the weak ones, we follow in the footsteps of our Lord, and we stoop down and we serve the poor, the needy, the aged, the widow, the sick, the suffering, the naked, the hungry, the marginalized, the dying. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. We are in this together. 1 Corinthians 12, 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Dear friends, we are not competitors, we are companions. We play on the same team. We all have a J on our chest for Jesus. Team Jesus, folks. That's our team. We're all on it by virtue of our baptism. I need you. You need me. The Lord has brought us together for this moment, for a time like this. Each of us, dear friends, has a part to play in this parish. And that's Paul's point when he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 31, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. So we don't come here and ask, what's in it for me? Such thinking is selfish. Such thinking is just me, myself, and I living. Not good. See, we come here to this parish and we ask the question, how can I build up the body of Christ in this place called grace? Now, a way to help you answer that question will be given to you today. This is called the Time and Talent Survey. It'll be given after the service. And by filling it out, you're not signing up for anything. All you're doing is you're making known your God-given gifts so that we can help one another find our place and our purpose here in this congregation. See, no one sits on the sidelines. Our Lord calls each and every one of us to put our gifts into play. And the survey is supposed to help do just that. Now, dear friends, there are many wonderful organizations out there that do many wonderful things, but there's only one body of Christ that rules and reigns to all eternity. And you and I are part of it. Not only have we been baptized into the body of Christ, the body of Christ is actually put into us. Yes, here at the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus will place on your tongue and mine his body. Take, eat. This is my body given for you. You know the old saying, you are what you eat. And that's most certainly true here at the Lord's Supper. We are what we eat. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear fellow members of the body of Christ, come forward. Open your mouths. Let's feast on him right here so that our bodies can be strengthened and preserved to live and to love, to walk and to talk and to die and rise as his body today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.